goodbye and chant the salutation to all the great beings. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Mi. Namo Amito Fo.Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho BhagavaBuddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa BhagavatoArahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya MajapamadatanaViramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now let us chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami TamonudangDanda sambarayutena Dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyangtang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang เอตังกสุมาสันตตินปูชายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนะมะเตนะเชโหทุโมคังปุปังมะลายะติยะตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายะติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมัง Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and the understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body.So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya,be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem.Bedang pujemi Damang pujemi Sanghang pujemi Okay, you can be seated and we can have our meditation. We are off the light.So that you can have half an hour of silent meditation. For those who are new, if you need instruction, I will give you some instruction. Okay. just relax body and mind. Yeah? Then make sure you have a stable posture. Mm. Then silence everything. Yeah. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then you can maintain awareness within your body and mind. Just feel your body and mind and completely silence your mind. Whatever arises, let it arise. Do not try to stop it or suppress or control. Yeah. Just let things be. Yeah. Maintain a relaxed state of body and mind, completely relaxed. Then you can close your eye. Yeah? Then I will teach you a skillful means to train your mind, yeah? The heedless thinking mind. If you have not developed the spiritual faculty, you need to train this heedless thinking mind. Because without the spiritual faculty, the opposite five, the mental hindrance, they will take over and they will create heedless thinking. And it will make you heedless. That's why your mental hindrance will be very active. Mm. Born of habitual tendency. Throughout the day, when you live your daily life, you are not mindful. You are not heedful. You don't have right view. You don't have the right understanding of this phenomenal world. The Dhamma that arise and pass away, their universal characteristic. Because of that, you will be deceived by the phenomenal world. Your mind will stir. Then this mental hindrance, the most powerful are the first two, sensual desire and evil, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. This is the thing that can make you heedless. So you do that very often throughout the day. Then it becomes a habit. There's a habitual tendency arise. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel something, you will react to them, either pleasant, unpleasant, like or dislike, depending on your views and opinion and your conditioning. So all this will make you heedless. When the mind has this mental hindrance, it will think a lot, it will stir, it will react. That's why you cannot be peaceful. And that's the reason why they are called mental hindrance. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So if you have such condition, means your spiritual faculty are not stable, then we have to use a skillful mean called the mind sweeping method, combined with metta, to help you stabilize this mind, to help you decondition the heedless thinking. Okay, I will teach you the mind sweeping method. Eh? Relax body and mind, silence everything, make sure your backbone is straight, then close your eye. Maintain awareness at the forehead. Feel. Just feel, don't do anything. Feel. If you feel any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax. Completely relax into it. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Whatever tension, stress within, relax, relax, and relax it all. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then move your attention down to your facial muscle, each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly, relax. And in order to help you relax further, you visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are without stress, you are happy, there is joy. That's why your facial muscle will relax on its own. Then you radiate this love and metta to bring about inner well-being. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can relate this same metta to our loved ones. May all our loved ones, it could be our parents, our brothers and sisters, our spouse, our children, our good friend, somebody whom we have great affinity with. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate this metta to them, visualize them, and send this positive metta force to them, this loving kindness. Then you can also wish them, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this metta to all beings within the vicinity of this house, seen and unseen, known and unknown, and to all Kayanamitas who are together with us meditating. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta to all beings throughout their entire existence. May all beings throughout the entire SS2 area, the whole of Selangor, the whole of Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth planet, then our solar system, and all beings within our galaxy, our Milky Way, then extending to all beings throughout the entire universe, entire existence. May they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. You just feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or chest area. Silence everything. If you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just silence everything and just stay there. But if you are new, if you are still not sensitive, then it's okay. You can how you feel your forehead. You feel your heart, then relax, relax and relax into it. Relax into every part of your chest area, your heart area. Then after that, you can move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then move it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. then you can reverse this whole of the mind sweeping method from your leg, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Then you move your attention up to your abdomen, feel, silent everything, just feel, then relax. Your stomach, do the same, feel, relax, then move it to your heart area, silent everything and just feel, relax. Then back to shoulder, feel, relax, head, feel, relax, then neck, feel, relax, facial muscle, feel, relax every part. Then your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then go back to your forehead, feel, relax every part. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. This is the silent mind that you can develop the meditation. But you have to stabilize it. If you are new, you have not developed the spiritual faculty, it's very difficult to stabilize this quiet mind or silent mind. So what I will teach you is anapana sati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is basically developing mindfulness of your in and out breath. And this is very simple. Yeah? You just have to develop this training. Silent everything. Instead of feeling your forehead, now you feel your breathing. In front of your nostril, just silent everything and just maintain awareness. Then, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. If you are new, if your mindfulness is not stable, then split second you realize your mind will wander off. But just let it be. Don't worry, don't react, don't stir your mind, don't be unhappy. Just accept that reality, that the untrained mind think a lot, can be heedless. So you just patiently bring your attention back to your nostril, in front of your nostril, to be mindful of the in and out breath. If you are patient, not long, maybe 5-10 minutes of practice, you will be able to develop this anapanasati. Then this mindfulness of the in and out breath will arise. Then when you are just mindfully aware of the in and out breath without thought, your mind will calm down by itself, become peaceful. Then you will experience a type of spiritual calmness, which they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture, or spiritual peacefulness that arises when the mind is without thought, without thinking, but just aware. Then after that, you continue to relax into it and continue to train yourself. Then as you relax and train yourself, this anapanasati will build up and become more and more stable. Then not long, the piti will also transform and you will experience a very blissful state of mind called sukha. Then you continue to relax into it and just maintain silence and mindfulness. Then allow the breath to become very quiet, very peaceful, and very subtle. Then even this sukha, blissfulness of mind, they will come to pass. And you will experience a type of quietness or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, which they call paucity. Paucity is the tranquility or stillness of mind. This is your silent mind, your meditative mind. So continue to train and develop this type of mind. Then use it to meditate. The silent mind without thought, without movement, is the meditative mind. So when the mind hit the tranquility and stillness without movement, don't panic, don't do anything. Just maintain silent. Be aware. Then the mind will enter sati and you will progress very well. And you will understand many things after that. Okay, I will stop the instruction. Let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6 of your chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang dhamma sabbanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma sabbanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabbanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato Savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samicipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṃ puñyakhetāṃ lokasāthe Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Padang Pujayami Dhammang pujayami, Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is the Buddha and his teaching by Narada. But tonight, before we go into this, we have this particular pitaka to discuss. It is called Charya Pitaka. I have sent out through the My Kayanamita site, I think about 2 days back. You on it on your phone. It's a PDF file. Whether it's a Word file or PDF file, I cannot recall. Word file. Okay, the date is, you have to go back. Yesterday. Charya Pitaka. Okay, you have it? It's 4 pages. Maybe after this, Pramasuri can help to print it out. Then for Thursday class, we can distribute. Then next Tuesday, you can collect a copy if you want. But this sutta is quite interesting. In fact, a lot of Theravada Buddhists, I don't think they really have a good understanding of this sutta. If you go into this sutta, then you understand many of the things that you have not heard before. I was also quite surprised when I read this sutta. That's why all this while I heard about the 24 Buddhas before Sakyamuni. So at first I thought these were just ordinary Buddha that he came to know. But according to this sutta, these are the 24 Buddhas, Sammasambuddha, that appear before him. And this world cycle is still quite new, no? So far, there are only 4 Sammasambuddha that appear in this recent world cycle. Afterwards, when I read through, you will understand. Whereas the previous world cycle, which is, they call it that certain kappa, is supposed to have 1,000 Sammasambuddha. This was something I never heard of too, because Reverend Suvanna never said on this. Then I checked, I scared this sutta is wrong. So I checked in the internet with some other sutta. It seems it's the correct sutta, is in the Theravada Tipitaka. So now I'll read to you, then you will understand. The Charya Pitaka. This is a Pali word. The meaning is conduct or proper conduct. So this is a sutta on proper conduct. And pitaka is usually translated as a Buddhist scripture, part of the Pali Canon, of the Theravada Buddhist sect or Buddhism. It is included here in the Sutta Pitaka under Kudaka Nikaya. Usually, as the last of the 15 book, it is a short verse work that includes 35 accounts of the Buddha's former life, similar to Jataka story or tales, when he as a bodhisattva exhibit behaviors known as perfections, prerequisites to Buddhahood. This canonical text, along with the Appadana and Buddha Vamsa, is believed to be a late addition to the Pali Canon and has been described as hagiographical. And I also don't know what that meaning is. In the first story, chapter 1, the Buddha say he will illustrate his practice of the perfection, means his perfection of the 10 perfection to be Sammasambuddha, or they call it Paramita in Pali, by story of his past life in this current age, or this the era when he was born. The text contains 35 such stories, spanning 356 to 371 verse. The body of the Chariya Pitaka is broken into three divisions they call Vaga, with title correlated to the first three of the 10 Theravada Paramita. The first three of the 10 perfection are Dana, Sila, and Nikama. So Dana Paramita, Sila Paramita, and Nikama Paramita. There were 10 stories or Jataka tales for the perfection of this Dana Parami. Then there are also 10 stories or Jataka tales for the perfection of Sila or morality or conduct. Then for renunciation too, perfection of renunciation or Nikama, there are 15 stories distributed among 5 other perfection as follow. So Nikama is one of them, renunciation, which is Nikama. Then Adhitana, or resolution, affirmation, determination, Parami. There is one story. Nikama or renunciation, there are 5 Jataka stories. Then Satya, which is truth, another perfection, there are 6 Jataka tales. Then loving kindness or metta, there are 2. Then equanimity or upeka, paramita, there are 1. The 3 remaining Theravada perfection, wisdom, which is panya, virya or spiritual zeal, and kanti or patience, are mentioned in a closing stanza, but not related to the Chariya Pitaka stories have come down to us. Then this honor suggests that these later 3 perfections are implicit in the collection reference in both story title and context. Yeah. Then we go to the next one. Translation. The collection of way of conduct in the Maitreya Anthologies of the Pali Canon, Volume 8, first edition. So this is the description. We can skip it. Then there is a basket of conduct in Minor Anthropology 3. Then along with the Chronicles of the Buddha. This one is very important. Chronicles of the Buddha means it record all the Buddha's past life and all those things. They call it Buddha Vamsa. That is the Pali text society. Buddha Vamsa. Then the 10 perfection are repeated down there. Then we go to this Buddha Vamsa, also known as the Chronicles of the Buddha. This is a very important text. So this one, last time when I teach at this, I think they call it what? Vipassana Society. there is this Bun Chai and Angatana. Is it Angatana? I think Angatana. The person who is responsible for all the printing of those translated Pali texts. And when I was there, he liked me so much. He asked Bun Chai to pass to me a lot of this, the books that he printed. No? And I was so surprised. No? One of the set that came was the Chronicles of the Buddha. No? There are 9 books. No? I didn't know that these books are useful until recently. Then I remember him. Yeah, he passed me those books. Then I checked. That's why I counter-checked. It was actually written in the Chronicles of the Buddha. Mm. But they were very thick volume about the 24 Buddhas. Actually, total 28 Buddhas. Yeah. He stopped at Dipankara Buddha. Dipankara Buddha was the first Buddha that made his prediction to be a Sammasambuddha. That's why he stopped there. Mm. Actually, before Dipankara Buddha, there were 3 more, yeah, which he also mentioned. Later on in the Pitaka, you will read about them. Eh? I just brief you a bit. Then, after Dipankara, it seems all the subsequent Sammasambuddha that came, each and every one, Sakyamuni Buddha also met them, pay respect to them, and received prediction from them. So he received prediction from 24 Sammasambuddhas that came later. I will go through, then you will understand. So the Buddha Vamsa, also known as the Chronicle of the Buddha, is a hagiographical Buddhist text which describes the life of Gautama Buddha and of the 24 previous Sammasambuddha who had prophesied his attainment of Buddhahood. In the 14th book of the Kudaka Nikaya, which in turn is the 5th and the last division of the Sutta Pitaka, the Sutta Pitaka is one of the 3 Pitakas, or they call it the main section, which together constitute the Tipitaka, or Pali Canon, of the Theravada Buddhism. So, the 3 Pitaka, there are 3 divisions. You're familiar with the 3 divisions? First one is what? Vinaya. Vinaya is the Vinaya Pitaka, where all the monks' rules or discipline or their precepts, it deals with all this, the monks' rules. Then we have the Sutta, Discourse of the Buddha, classified under the various Nikaya. The first one is a long discourse, they call it Digha Nikaya. Then the middle length, Anukara, Anuttara Nikaya, then the last one is Samyutta Nikaya, the short discourse. Then after that, there are some more classification. One of them is the Dhammapada verse. Then all the what they call word of 1, word of 2, word of 3, and all this thing. Then you have finally this, what they call Kudaka Pitaka. Kudaka, Pitaka, or Nikaya. Okay. Along with the Appadana, and the Chariya Pitaka, the Buddha Vamsa is considered by most scholars to have been written during the 1st and 2nd century BC and is therefore a late addition to the Pali Canon. Then next page. The first chapter tells us how Gautama Buddha demonstrated his supernormal knowledge, creates a jewel walkway in the sky. In seeing this display, Sariputta asked the Buddha, "Of what kind, great hero, supreme among men, was your resolve? At what time, wise one, was supreme awakening aspired to by you? Of what kind, wise one, leader of the world, were your 10 perfections? How were the higher perfection fulfilled? How the ultimate perfection? So, Sariputta, the chief disciple, foremost in wisdom, actually did check with the Buddha on his cultivation. But these are not in the Sutta, that's why you don't hear about them. These are in the Pitaka, the Chronicle. So this one, if I got time, I will go in and read. It's the first book, I think. So if I can find anything, I will share with you all. It should be interesting. Where people say, the Buddha never mentioned about the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, the 3¾ Asankhya Kappas of cultivation that he took. Maybe it's not in the Sutta, but it's in this Nikaya. Pitaka, sorry. Pitaka. Then in response, the Buddha relate the remainder of the Buddha Vamsa. That's how all this story come about. How he met all these 24 Buddhas before him that he predicted him. In the second chapter, Gautama tell how in a distant past life as Sumedha, he received a prediction from Dipankara Buddha that in the next era, you will become a Buddha named Sakyamuni and thought out the 10 perfection he would need to practice. So at that time, he received all this prediction. Then chapter 3 to chapter 26 are account of the 24 historical Buddha who preceded Gautama Buddha and the act of merits that Gautama Buddha performed towards them in his previous life. So all those previous lives that Sakyamuni Buddha, Bodhisattva at that time, before he became the Sammasambuddha, he actually met all these Buddhas, Sammasambuddha, and he performed a lot of what they call merits, acts of merits towards them. Then chapter 27 is an account of the life of Gautama Buddha. This one is a detailed description of his various life until how he becomes Sammasambuddha. Then chapter 28 mentions the 3 Buddha that preceded Dipankara. Before Dipankara, there were 3 more Sammasambuddha, as well as the future Buddha, Maitreya. So total 28. 24 plus this 3 plus 1 is 28. Then chapter 29 tells of the distribution of the Buddha's relics after his death. So chronicle of the 24 Buddhas. See, the first one is Dipankara. This is the first one that predicted him to be a Sammasambuddha. Then after that, the subsequent 23 Sammasambuddha that came, they all predicted him. Then you realize after 21, Buddha Visabu. Then you see the print in blue. Buddha Kakusada, Buddha Konagamana, and Buddha Kassapa. Then after that, the next one is Buddha Gautama, or Sakyamuni Buddha. So these 3, after Buddha Visabu, they are actually of the next kappa. That's why when Dipankara Buddha predicted Sakyamuni, he told him, he told Sakyamuni Buddha, he said, you will become the Sammasambuddha in the next period. That he used the word in the next era or next kappa, you will become a Sammasambuddha named Sakyamuni. Then I will just quickly read through the name. Buddha Dipankara, then Buddha Kondanya, Buddha Mangala, Buddha Sumana, Buddha Ravata, Buddha Sobita, Buddha Anumadasi, Buddha Paduma, Buddha Narada, Buddha Padumuttara, Buddha Sumedha, then Buddha Sujata, then Buddha Piyadasi, Buddha Attadasi, Buddha Dhammadasi, Buddha Siddhata, Buddha Tisa, Buddha Pusa, then Buddha Vipassi, then Buddha Sikhi, then finally Buddha Visabu. Then after that is our new kappa, the Buddha Kakusanda, Buddha Kanagamana, then Buddha Kassapa. In country where Theravada Buddhism is practiced by the majority of people such as Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Laos, Burma, Thailand, it is customary for Buddhists to hold elaborate festival, especially during the fair weather season, paying homage to the 28 Buddhas described in the Buddha Vamsa. The Buddha Vamsa is a text which describes the life of Sakyamuni Buddha or Buddha Gautama and the 27 Buddha who preceded him. The Buddha Vamsa is part of the Kudaka Nikaya, which in turn is part of the Sutta Pitaka. The Sutta Pitaka is one of the three main divisions of the Pali Canon, or the Tipitaka of the Theravada Buddhism. The first three of this Buddha, Tanhankara, Medankara, and Saranankara, lived before the time of Dipankara Buddha. The fourth Buddha, Dipankara Buddha, is especially important as he was the Buddha who gave prediction of future Buddhahood to the Tibetan Bomo youth. That time was this Gautama, Bodhisattva Gautama, who would in the distant future become Gautama Buddha. After Dipankara, 23 more Arya Pugala, noble people, would attain enlightenment before Gautama, the historical Buddha. Then many Buddhists also pay respect to the future 29 Buddha, which is Maitreya, Buddha Maitreya. According to Buddhist scripture, Maitreya will be the successor of Gautama, who will appear on earth, achieve complete enlightenment, and teach the pure Dhamma. The prophecy of the coming or arrival of Maitreya is found in the canonical literature of all Buddhist sects, Theravada Mahayana and Vajrayana, and is accepted by most Buddhists as a statement about an event that will take place when the Dhamma would have been forgotten in our world system, which is called Jambuvapi, the terrestrial realm where ordinary human beings live. Then the seventh Buddha of antiquity, this is the one. According to Mahayana tradition, each kappa has 1,000 Buddhas or Samasa Buddhas. The previous kappa was the Yuhakappa or the glorious aeon, and the present kappa is called the auspicious aeon or Bhadra Kappa. So we are now in the auspicious aeon. So we are actually very, very lucky, because this is a very special kappa, auspicious. Then of course the world system of kappas before us is called the glorious, means a lot of glory, but ours is very auspicious. The seven Buddhas of the antiquity, or Satatathagata, are seven Buddhas which bridge the two kappas, the Yuhakappa and the Brahdakappa. So Vipassi is the 998th Buddha of the Yuhakappa. Then Buddha Sikhi is the 999th Buddha of the Yuhakappa. Then Buddha Visabu is the 1000th or final Sammasambuddha of the Yuhakappa. Then after that, the first Buddha of our auspicious kappa or the Bhadra kappa is Kakusanda Buddha. Then the second one is Konagamana. Then after that is Kassapa Buddha, the third Buddha of our auspicious aeon or kappas called Bhadra kappa. Then Gautama Buddha, of Sakyamuni Buddha is the form and present Buddha of our present auspicious kapas or Bhadra kapas. Following the seven Buddhas of antiquity will be Maitreya. So Maitreya will be the fifth and future Buddha of our Bhadra kapa, and his arrival will occur after the teaching of Gautama Buddha are no longer practiced. The coming of Maitreya will be characterized by a number of physical events. The oceans are predicted to decrease in size, allowing Maitreya to traverse them freely. Maitreya will then reintroduce true Dhamma to the world. His arrival will signify the end of the middle time, the time between the fourth Buddha, Gautama Buddha, and the fifth Buddha, Maitreya, which is viewed as a low point of human existence. According to Chakravarti Sutta, the wheel-turning emperor, Digha-Nikaya, chapter 26 of the Sutta Pitaka of the Pali Canon, Maitreya Buddha will be born in a time when humans will live to an age of 80,000 years in the city of Ketumati, present Varanasi, whose king will be Chakravarti Sanka. Sanka will live in a palace where once dwelt by King Mahapananda, but later he will give the palace away and will himself become a follower of Maitreya Buddha. So this is according to the scripture. Huh? So I don't know whether you believe or not. Huh? The lifespan at that time is 80,000 years. Yeah. So human being can live very long. Huh? The scripture said that Maitreya will attain Bodhi in 7 days, which is the minimum period, by virtue of his many lives of preparation for Buddhahood, similar to those reported in the Jataka story. At this time, a notable teaching he will start giving is that of the 10 non-virtuous deeds: killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, divisive speech, abusive speech, ideal speech, covetousness, harmful intent, and wrong view. And the 10 virtuous deeds: the abandoning of killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, divisive speech, abusive speech or harsh speech, ideal frivolous speech, covetousness, harmful intention, and wrong view. Then the Arya Maitreya Mandala found in the Anagarika Govinda is based on the idea of the future coming of Maitreya. Then according to Pali source, it says that beings in Maitreya time will be much bigger than during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha. In one prophecy, his disciple was contemptuous of Mahakasapa, whose head is no larger than an insect to them. Buddha's robe barely covered 2 fingers, making them wonder how tiny Buddha was. Then Mahakasapa is said to be small enough in comparison to cremate in the palm of Maitreya's hand. You just imagine how big they are. That's why they live for so long. Yeah? Mahakasapa that time must be about our size or bigger. It can only go into his palm. Understand? Not to be cremated by them. So just imagine at that age. That's why they say the ocean will dry out. A lot of land for this giant to move around. Okay, so this is the story, the record of the Charya Pitaka. So this is a brief story from the scripture. So at least you have a better idea of what Sammasambuddha is. Pass the mic to Chui. Yes.
Just to ask something basic.
Yeah. I know, sure got question on. Yeah, I also got question. push it out all the way. Yeah. Huh? Not working. Oh, maybe the battery No, no. Never mind. I will change it because last week they forgot to off. I realized. Yeah, last Tuesday, they didn't off. It was in the middle. So just now I took out, I checked. It's in the middle. That's why the battery ran out. Yeah, Chui.
Yes. I still need to ask you a few basic questions about time.
Yeah.
We are talking about the minimum of 24 Buddhas in the first stage. And then you have the 7 and I don't know how many more. And then you're talking about kalpas and eons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kalpas, I don't know how long it is.
Very long.
Years.
World cycle.
But you see, when you look at this particular planet, we are looking at a very young planet where our history, recorded history at best goes back, I mean, the
5,000 over
5,
years.
5,000. Yeah. I double it, 10,000.
Yeah.
It's impossible for this. I mean, if they are in human, I wonder whether they are in human form, all these Buddhas. Because, you know, it could be so many other forms which
but according,
not aware of.
According to Sakyamuni, is human form.
But
it's talking about the human rhyme. The human rhyme.
If it's the human realm in this planet, it is not possible for them to have so many eons of human unless.
But do you know, Chui? No. Do you know our planet? You know how old or not our Earth?
Millions of years.
Billions. It's almost 10 billion years old.
I'm just saying that recorded history shows that there are no human forms for thousands of years. They are evolving, you see. But these are perfected beings.
What is your question?
My question is, are they all on this planet or are they in another the universal system where there's other life forms,
according to the sutta, is this planet. That's why he said born at the same place, the Samasambuddha, Varanasi. It seems according to the Theravada Sutta, the future Buddha, Maitreya, will be born there also. But not important. Like I say, I also got questions because Do you realize there's a table? No? Oh, it's not here. There's a bigger table. You go to the internet, you will see. It seems all these Buddha, the 28 of them that Sakyamuni mentioned, they all take birth there. No? And the caste system also there. No? What caste system they take when they come?
Boggles my mind how they can record all this when the first known language was at best 7,000 years ago.
No. You don't complicate that thing actually, because you know our planet existed so long was because every civilization that arise, they lasted for about 30,000 years average. I explained this before, isn't it? You see, what happened to our planet is our atmosphere helps us a lot. Like now, this present civilization, we started about 5,000 years ago. That's why all the life forms were very primitive. Then we start recover. Then over 5,000 years of history, we progress so fast. No? Then we may reach a stage where we can even create nuclear or whatever self-destructive thing that can happen to our human civilization. It seems scientists has discovered the few civilization before us. One of them I think you heard of is the Sumerian, the Atlantis, the Sumerian. They were civilization that existed before us. That's why a lot of people don't understand the pyramid and all. They think it's a foreign. They think it's outer space, terrestrial beings and all those things must have done. It's not necessary because over the last maybe 8 to 10 billion years, our planet has actually evolved very long. And there's a lot of civilization. If every civilization is 30,000 years average, so 100,000 years, there will be about 3 civilizations. So 1 million, there will be 30 civilizations. And we are talking about billions of years. That's why there's a lot of civilization that has come and gone, come and gone. So what happened is civilization can be destroyed in a number of ways. Either through human destruction themselves, through nuclear or whatever. Or if not, when the consciousness become very bad, our earth movement, the tectonic plate and all the things, trigger or tsunami and all the things, it will destroy. Then sometimes the volcanic activity, the eruption and all those things, that one also possible because we have witnessed a few. At that time, I think in somewhere near Europe, I think, UK there. This smoke that came out, you remember? The flight all were down for quite a while. And the smoke, the visibility is completely not there. And that is only one of the small eruptions there. If let's say the planet go through a very violent upheaval because of negativity or consciousness or thing, then many of these places, let's say this type of volcanic ashes start to erupt, the whole planet will be covered with this type of, they call it dust or cloud. Then what happens is the sunlight cannot come in. You understand? When the sunlight cannot come in, you know what happened? There will be ice age. Straight away, the planet will become very cold. Very, very cold. Then the part that is not facing the sun also will freeze. Then the part facing the sun also no effect because the dust is too thick. It cannot come in, the solar UV light and all that. So when it go through the ice age, it will take a long time for it to heal. That's why it was mentioned they take 15,000 years for the ice age to slowly melt back. For all the volcanic activity, the dust that came out, all to settle down. That's why 15,000 years to come back to normal planet. Then you see life form coming back. Very, very primitive life form. Then the water that time will be very clean. Consciousness will be very clean. And then life form starts to come back. Then it takes time to evolve. Maybe another 5,000 or 10,000 years. Then after that, when sufficient life form, then you see the present civilization of our planet that we went through 5,000 over years ago. We start to see the primitive man and other things, yeah? Arising and other things. Then again, another 5,000 over years for it to develop the civilization. So 15,000 plus 5,000, 20,000 plus our 5,000, 25,000, maybe we got another 4,000 or 5,000 before we end ourselves again. Understand? But somehow we are lucky. We survived 2012. Then last 30 years, we actually were very lucky because our breakthrough in science and technology was so powerful. It will bring our civilization to another level. I think we don't need long. We need another 100 years. We will be very advanced. Very advanced. We will be very advanced being. Oh, of course. You are right. Chui, you are right. If the consciousness does not destroy itself. No. At the moment, actually, it's improving. It is the rising era. As long as the sasana is still around, the consciousness is still evolving. Because now there are more and more of these great beings. And more people are going into the spiritual field. Yeah. You will be very surprised. A lot of these beings that come, even the modern era, they have this past cultivation. That's why this is an era. No wonder they call it the auspicious kappa. Very auspicious. And my nature can feel a lot of things is happening. But although, like I said, very slow. Because what we need is just the 1% of beings that go this way. But that 1% is very difficult to hit. At the moment, it's still a very, very low number. Very, very low. So hopefully, as planet evolve, our civilization evolve, and all the great beings that come, each and everyone contributing some form of understanding to the later generation, then we will all benefit. It's just like when Hui Ning came, sixth patriarch. Then when some of the great Buddhist masters and even of other religion, like Jai Krishnamurti, Eckhart and all these things, they contribute to the understanding part, to the improvement of human consciousness, to the development of the human mind. So all this you can see happening. Then a lot of great beings, like we all cultivator, you have your nature, you have your past, but you don't know where your time has not come. You have not really fully commit yourself to connect. But the moment you connect, like many of our Kanyamita, they will know. Even Song, they will start to know. They will start to understand this thing. And when you connect to that nature, that true mind, your nature become very different. That's why my nature can understand. And the way I receive is the way I give in the past. That's why this nature, when it comes, it has its duty too. It has its vow. Then it will contribute in its own way. That's why our website come about. That's why this book, The Bodhisattva Way, is coming out. I just finalized it today. And it's a very good book. I have sent to Brother Tim. You help me to just check one more round. Make sure the thing don't run. Because I don't know whether this booklet can take in the 140 page or not. Can? Will it be too thick? Can I? Oh, retreat version. Okay. Then, can I ask you this one, Pamasri? This particular Kuan Yin that you sent out, where did you get it? It's very nice. You download it. Can we print that as a cover? Because I saw that Kuan Yin with the lotus. Very nice. Oh, there, this one, this Kuan Yin. You cannot print one. Anybody know how to download this and print? The one that Padmasuri sent out. Oh, okay. Well, this one, you magnify it, you see the lotus, it's very nice. Then the water shows samsara. This one is very nice. Very nice. Never mind, you all just look at it. I just give you an idea of what will be better. Use this as a cover, it will be a lot better. But this one will stand out. So we use combine, I think can. Combine, but your size is this size or... this size then very good. This size is very good. This size then I think less pages, I think. Bertil? Oh, you already do it in this size. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then it's okay. No problem. That is very good. Then you have print a set out. Then we just check. Then we quickly, I target end of the month. Can I? Should be able to. End of the month. 10, 11. Then next month, and then where? But I put the date as 31st July for the book to come out. No, the soft copy we have put in our website first. We launch it first. If we cannot get the hard copy, we launch the soft copy first on the 31st itself. Put it in our website. July. July. Okay. Yeah, yes. We take use the mic, otherwise the recording cannot. Thanks, yeah. Yeah.
I just happened to come across this book called The Stories of the Buddha.
Yeah.
How he met these 28
Buddhas.
Buddhas.
Yeah.
But in the introduction from the author, if it's to my understanding, if I read it right, apparently these Jakarta stories are infused with Indian cultures and during the period of Buddha's past lives. How he met like Dipankara
Buddha.
I remember he has this long hair. Buddha has this long hair, and
that time he was a yogi. Yeah, pool of water.
Pool of water. Yeah, and then he let this present Buddha walk through. And
with his disciple.
Yeah, something
but
like that.
Dipankara Buddha warned the disciple not to step on the hair.
I can't remember, but it was the story or something like that.
Yeah, he warned. He warned the disciple not to
say was, basically, in that particular book, I can't remember who is the author, but I sort of like read through the introduction and and he says that these stories of Buddha past life, which may be infused with the cultural
the Indian
aspect
culture
of things.
Yeah, the cultural influence, aspect of it. Influence. Yeah. Definitely.
He says
because these are the things written a few hundred years after the Buddha's passing away. Mm. Where he was born in the year 543 BC. Then he passed away 80 years later. Means 460 something BC. But this book was written in the first AD. That's why a lot of influence. Because they had problem with words that time, no writing yet. There was no writing. Even the Bible also no writing. They were written later, much later.
I think you have to read the stories in these Chronicles of Buddha.
Yeah.
And you form your own own so-called opinion as to how far you think is true or not true or whatever. I think that is not the important thing. The important thing is that basically, what I'm trying to put here is that if I remember what I read in the introduction, it says that it has no relevance, apparently to the Tripitaka. But how true that is, I mean, I'm no
that
expert.
That one is the author's opinion.
Yeah, that's the author's opinion. So because it is for you to read the stories.
You will be very surprised. You see, if they're willing to take this in, this Theravada, they are very, very conservative. They are called the Theras, the Orthodox tradition. Whatever they're not sure, they kick it out. For them to take it in, there must be some form of basis. Because at that time when the Buddha was around, no writing, no recorder, nothing. Just words. How can all these words come down? That's why chanting is one of them. But these 24 Buddha, there is a chanting, there is a chanting. That's why it gives strength for it to be recorded and included. Because there is a chanting.
It's very strange. Actually, I just came across this chanting today, this morning when I was doing my chanting. I was like, since when they have this chanting? And then it was actually in the Pali chanting
book.
Surprisingly, they have all this 20... I can't remember. I think it's 28 Buddhas.
28. Total 28, yes.
So I'm just giving you my personal...
You see, I also got question, like I told someone at Kayamita. Do you realize that all these Buddha, they say, arise in India with all the caste system? No, I mean, by reference to scientific understanding, I mean the probability is it cannot be because Buddhas, they occur over long period, only one karma. Even 1,000, even 1,000 Sammasambuddha for one world cycle, it's not many, you know. You know, one aeon, how long or not? No, it's trillion and trillion of years.
One kappa, it's like the beginning
Yeah. And according... No, more than that. Much more than that. No. Joyce, you read the Theravada Sutta is mentioned. They call it, don't know by what, Yona. Don't know what Yona. Ya Yona or what Yona, I don't know. And Reverend Suwano, I remember, he read from the Burmese text. He said, it's like a mountain, 7 miles high, 7 miles long, and 7 miles wide. Every 100 years, you use a silk cloth, to rub it once. And you have to rub until that mountain is gone. That is one kappa. 100 years, you rub it once, until the whole mountain is gone. I give you one rock, every year you rub, you take you how many 100 years, I don't know. 20 lifetimes also cannot finish. Not every day rub, 100 years rub one time, You know or not? And you just imagine how long it takes for that kappa, like you say, birth and death of the whole universe. And it's a very long time. And to me, even 1,000 Sammasambuddha, maybe one Sammasambuddha come after 1 billion years. Understand? Because this planet, at the moment, is the second cycle. We call it the auspicious aeon. Let's say the sutta is correct. Yeah? The record is correct. We so far got 4 Buddhas already. And we already 10,000 billion years long. You can imagine or not? So every of these Buddha is 2,500 billion years long. The interval between the arising. 2,500 billion years now. 1 billion years is long enough.
So we've been going round and round and round.
That's why when you talk about kappas, all this got no meaning because the bodhisattva will know. When they reach the fourth stage of bodhisattva mind development, Bodhi-mind development, they will renounce samsara. Well, to them, samsara is nothing already. Time got no more meaning. But there is no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of life and dhamma and all those things. So all this is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. No really, hey no you, hey no me. So they know. All this is what the universe is all about, the conditioned world is all about. So to them, all this is nothing. They said to the Sammasambuddha, this is all nothing. So it can happen. But to me, the more important thing is the teaching. The other thing are not important. It is the teaching that makes it very unique. That's why when I first saw the Four Noble Truths in the year 1971, this nature inside, completely no more doubt after that. No need to search. Everything end. And like it knew, this is it, finish. Nobody can do it unless it's a Sammasambuddha. How can any being, not to say 2,600 years ago, but even now, can summarize all of life, both the mundane and supramundane, into just four noble truths so beautifully? Nobody can do it unless it's the real Sammasambuddha. That's at that time, my nature say, even I myself, this life, if I have known this enlightenment, realized this enlightenment, without the sasana, without the Buddha's teaching, I cannot summarize my understanding into just four noble truths. Impossible. My nature has got no such ability. That's why he has to be the real one. And straight away at that time, deep inside knew, no need to search, that's it. That's why the faith is very strong. Then later on when condition arrive, everything just falls into place. Yeah. You read my transcript, you will know. I share a lot of things inside there. Yeah. That 4 session that I share, I combine into one book. Yeah. You read that one, you will know. There's a lot of things inside there. And this teaching is supposed to come out again. Yeah, to actually give rise to condition for future cultivator. Where this Bodhisattva way, the understanding of it, that path, is very important. A lot of people who don't understand, they say it's very long. Too long, impossible, crazy. But those who understand, it's not really what you think. Then you know how to connect and create affinity with all these great beings. It is very easy. Because their vow will take you along, their nature will take you along. And do you know that this 1,000 Sammasambuddha that come, it may not be everyone different Sammasambuddha or not. It could be the same one that used the Nimanakaya to come, no? Like Kuan Yin got 80 over manifestation. That's why you chant the great compassionate mantra. He came 84 times, no? And there are a lot of other births that they take. Because this Nimanakaya, you can come. You can come. You can come back. Your nature is there. You actually equivalent to that Sammasambuddha's nature because you already perfected. But the only thing is that prediction to be that particular Sammasambuddha is over. So you can only experience that once. Yeah. Then after that, that is the last birth. Because that form and mind, the last Sammasambuddha like Sakyamuni, when he parinibbana, there is no delusion, no ignorance. So there is no rebirth consciousness. That's why that is his last birth. But his Nimanakaya, because he has become the Sammasambuddha through cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, that's why he will know how to come. He will know how to create the form and mind through love and compassion to come. And that one is another form and mind not born of ignorance or delusion, born of pure mind, love and compassion and the vow. That's why they can continue to come with a form and mind. We call it the functional body of the great being. So they can come under different name. That's why he used the word all day, Buddha. He never used Sammasambuddha. But their nature actually could be Sammasambuddha. Like Sakyamuni, after he finished that 2,000 over years ago life, that one is a Sammasambuddha. Then later on, let's say he take Nimanakaya, functional body, to come. He has the nature of a Sammasambuddha. But he's not called Sammasambuddha because this is not from the prediction. And this is just a name he take. That's why they put the word Buddha. But that Buddha can also denote Sammasambuddha because he has the nature of a Sammasambuddha. He has perfected it. Like Kuan Yin, they all, they have perfected it. Understand not? You may call him a Bodhisattva. You may think that they use their vow to block themselves. But actually, they already have the understanding and the perfection. It's a matter of whether they want to do it or not. Then like Earth Star Bodhisattva, he put in the vow to block himself from becoming the Sammasambuddha. We are not until the hell is empty of hell being, he will never become. So he put that vow to continuously come back and not to finish off. But a lot of people don't understand. After the Buddha is gone, Sammasambuddha is gone, their karmic nature, their spiritual nature is still there. If they choose to come back, they can come back. Just like the email I reply. And I explain it very clearly under the Bodhisattva cultivation, the transcript. So you should read. If you have the condition and you have the what they call affinity, what you need to do is just have faith and plant the seed of Bodhi. That's it. That will take you along. You only need to have faith, sincerity, then persevere to have this understanding, cultivate, then make all the aspiration to have this type of right view, right understanding, as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha, life after life when you come. To follow is what? To avoid all evil, to good, purify the mind and perfect all virtue and wisdom. Then after that, you must have this right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, the Four Noble Truths. And understand clearly what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Then you determine strongly with faith. But this sasana, you have a lot of merits, a lot of what they call blessings, understanding. So when you invoke power of merits, the seed of Bodhi that you planted, it will take root, it will nature. Then because you make this vow, you make this aspiration for this understanding to arise, life after life, whenever you arise, which means in future, without the Buddha Sasana, your form and mind that come, they will have this understanding. It will shine forth. Just like this life, when my nature come, it searches by itself. I don't need to have anything. Nobody need to advise me. At the age of 17, it searches by itself. Then when it hears truth, sees truth, it understands. How is this possible? And a lot of things I told you, I never learned this life. How can this form and mind, this nature understand? Because of the vow, because of the perfection, the cultivation. That's why a lot of things, even English educated, but I can understand my teaching. The Mandarin and all those things. Very, very funny. You go and check, you will come to the understanding yourself later when your nature shine forth, when your condition arise, when you connect. Then your cultivation become very different. But that type of cultivation is very different. When your faith is very strong, when your spiritual faculty has become unshakable, I tell you that nature move differently. The moment it connect to that true nature, the gateway, the understanding is completely different. And you will go back to your past cultivation very fast. Then from there on, because of the sasana, your understanding of this adhitana and all this other perfection, you can make your cultivation very beautiful, very different. And this is the window, the sasana, where you plant all this adhitana, to make sure your cultivation never deviate from now onward. That's how all the great beings that come, they know. Because they have done this before. Otherwise, you will get lost, I tell you, when the sasana is no more. Yeah. And the sasana can be gone for very, very long. Because the interval between Samma Sambuddha can be 2,500 billion years. So during this period, you can be anywhere in samsara, except no sasana. So it is a very, very frightening aeon or era if you fall into that category. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah, you can rejoice. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. All this come about because of condition. You know how I got this note or not? That's why I say, a lot of things you never believe or no. When something is needed, it just appears or no. I got it from the American website, Dhammasuka, that one that taught the 6R, that what Bhante Vimaramsi. One of the follower there asked, yeah, he also curious. He want to know this 10 perfection, whether it's a Mahayana teaching. Yeah. Exclusively Mahayana or Theravada. So he asked this Dhammasuka group, is there any Theravada Sutta that talk about this 10 perfection? And honestly, then they send this link to him. That's how I click on it. And the timing is so perfect. Then I click on it, then I saw all this. And it was in the midst of my this Bodhisattva way, the transcript. And the Bodhisattva way that started end of 2014, also very funny one. The condition just arrived. It's all described inside there. You go and read, you will know. The causes and conditions, every time something needed, it will arise one. Means meant to be, has to be. And the way it has to come out also, you cannot believe one. That's why the website come, everything come. The Heart Sutta book was the one. And that was the time we printed it. Yeah. So a lot of things, when it's supposed to happen, it will happen. Like Eckhart say, the book want to come. You cannot stop. Yeah. The power, no. Yeah. Then it will just, the condition, the causes and condition will just unfold. And a lot of things, when you have the cultivation and the realization and the understanding, you will see all these signs very clearly. And you will know how to echo and flow. And they are so beautiful. Even our affinity with Achan Achalo's way place, we call it Anandagiri Hermitage, it's not by accident, I tell you. The condition just unfold and it just happened. That's why we get to do the consecration for the three great beings, you remember? How can a Theravada way place in Thailand think of having Maitreya there? And that already make it very, very weird. Then after Maitreya, he think of Kuan Yin. Then after that, he say, got Maitreya, got Kuan Yin, Theravada, way place, no Sakyamuni, how can? So he put one in the middle. And all this we got to sponsor it, you know. And we got the affinity. And he even asked us to consecrate, do the chanting, everything. And those who went with us, you remember that night when we were there? The night before when we were doing the rehearsal, so many things happened. Then the next morning, the whole place is engulfed with mist and all these things. When the chanting going on and all those things. And so many things just happened. That's how it's meant to be. Then a lot of things. That's why we have a lot of affinity with Achalo. Then somehow Joyce also can make contact because maybe past affinity, they were very close. Then somehow the thing just continued. He came over, gave some retreat to, then of course get to know the Kalamitas. Then the Kalamita also every year, I think without miss, Joyce has been going. Every year, never miss. This year also going. For me, when there's condition, I join them. So a lot of things you will come to understand when your cultivation have reached certain level of understanding. Your nature will know. Your nature will understand. You will unfold. All this will unfold. And like I used to share with you all, you may think it's what they call fairy tale. But the actual happening is more fantastic than even fairy tale. You can never believe. You will be amazed by how things happen. Because the causes and conditions planted is very different. Because this is through an understanding, through the vows, through the affinity of this great being, through the whole cosmic movement. It's not you alone. And you all have your causes and conditions behind. Otherwise, you cannot be here. You cannot be hearing all these things. So, hopefully, you all appreciate. Yes. I use the mic, Joyce. Yeah. Never mind. It's okay.
It's quite strange because today I was not meant to be here. Because my mate was on 1 month holiday. So I'm the Amina and my husband is the part-time Amina. Something like that. So I told my husband, I said, hey, I want to go for class tonight. I want to go to the class tonight. I said. He said, yeah, okay, you go ahead. I'll stay back home and do the Amina job.
Wow.
So
very
I think he's doing the Amina
job right now. Sadhu to him. Sadhu to Clifford.
Actually, I did this whole week, if I may share.
Should share,
This whole week of events unfold quite beautifully in a way for me.
Tamasri.
Actually, I'm starting to write a journal, a spiritual journal for myself.
Wow, sadhu. Very good.
The advice of my dear friend Mimi.
Yeah, sadhu, you should.
And I find it to be quite beneficial to a lot of extent. I do write occasionally, when something quite. For my own recollection, I normally don't, I try not, I don't share very much because I myself have doubts and confusion. So basically, I don't share if I have that kind of doubts. I don't think it's proper to share something when you have doubts, unless you're quite firm on your faith and on your
understanding.
So what happened was for the past 2.5 weeks, I was on a very beautiful spiritual journey. Starting off with, let me put it this way. I was in India in December last year. I was in Putosan in April this year, and I was sick for a while due to dengue. So that is apparently, according to Brahadu, it is meant to happen so that I have to rest.
Blessing in disguise, so that you can rest.
So
your
I didn't
body.
Go to Bhutan, which I really love to be to go, and I didn't get to go, and I was quite disappointed. And then came the events in Anandagiri, which I also can't go because I was sick.
Yeah.
Until finally, the last event, the last auspicious event in Anandagiri,
Longpo
Piak was there. And I managed to get myself there somehow. just a few of us, because yeah. It was a very short notice, like 3-4 days for us to prepare. And when I went there, I don't expect very much, because that was the second time I've seen Longpo myself up so close. And you can feel his aura.
Mm.
He's really... You have to be there to know what I'm talking about. So what happened was we waited for him to we spent 2 days there doing some practice and also helping out in the main shrine with our flowers and all that. Mei Xiang was there as well, and I think it was quite a beautiful time for us, because we kind of like have a lot of time to ourselves. And you tend to be a bit more mindful, especially when you're in a monastery. You tend to
yeah.
like, you know, you have to be have
more heedful.
Yeah, more heedful, good conduct.
Yes,
all this come into play. And when Longpo Pia came, we were told that you guys are going in for a 108 ET peso for the night. And I was just recovering from
dengue,
so I wasn't full of energy or anything. Actually, after having done the flowers, I and Mei was like half dead, actually. We were like, oh gosh, we don't have enough time. We really have to rush back, grab our shower, and then come back to the monastery again, that kind of thing. And we started off with the evening chanting. And then we have the iti piso. I won't go into detail, but there was quite a few happenings that kind of like, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But to us, it was something quite auspicious.
Yeah.
It's like garnering the energy for you, you know, to go on the 108 peso kind of thing. It's not easy, you know, because you're really, really fast.
Unless you have the faith.
Unless you have the faith.
Then the collective consciousness.
Yeah, and the collective energy or consciousness that produces. And it is amazing.
Yeah.
I can tell you it is really something else. I was like going on the first gear. You know, kind of thing. And then I said, like, how to go 108? You know, the kind of thing. You know. I was like on my 9 or my 10 ET peso. And then when you like put your mind to it and you are absolutely in synchronizing with them, and you can see you actually go pretty well.
Completely different.
Yeah, and you kind of like...
It's like a shift. There's a shift.
You're right, Bharati. Yeah. There's a shift of consciousness kind of
then
thing. And
immediately,
then you can emerge
immediately
in with them.
You can flow with them.
Right.
Then you chant with faith.
Right.
That's why your voice tonight, you already recover 100%. Very strong.
I hope so.
Yeah, very strong. Yeah, very strong.
But
your
anyway,
voice is very
just
strong.
To cut the whole story short, I managed to finish the ET piso 108.
Wow,
I think started. I only missed one or twice. And I know how many I missed. When they finished, I actually carried on my own. And it was like, I realized I was actually chanting very loud.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your
Mei,
voice is just very powerful.
Was I very loud? No idea. Maybe not. Maybe it's in my head.
Mei is in samadhi. That's why I cannot hear you.
Anyway, I personally feel very energized.
Yeah, very energized.
I also feel that even though at that time when I listened to the EPT, when I chant the ETP, so I wasn't really fully understand this ETP, so in complete... I'm using the word completely. Understand it? It's like
sadhu.
You know, you just go along with the chant because I know the wordings quite well. But after that whole thing with Longpo and all that, I can see a certain a slight shift in my practice, right? And then when I came home, I was invited to Wachana conference. This is my first Buddhist conference that I go to. And they have this called Buddha's Word.
Yeah.
Rediscovering the Essentials.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite interesting. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go and You know, it's just going to be another conference or anything. But actually, it's not. Actually, even though they don't have much time to look into all the forums, that and I wish I could go to all the forums and hear what people got to say. I chose a forum that says meditation, seeing the Dharma. And initially, when I listened to all this, I said, "Oh, okay, you know, like what Brother Teo used to say." And I think a lot of us will probably. I mean, I'm speaking on my own that without the essential Dharma, the very basic Dharma, it's quite difficult
to proceed
to the next level of
to even progress
spiritual path.
The cultivation needs understanding.
That's my personal opinion. Okay. And after that, I find it to be very informative, very inspiring to carry on practicing and all that. Until I came to went and listened to a talk on the first Discord. The first discourse of the Buddha, which I think everybody knows, is the Dhammacakka, Savatthana Sutta. Yes. I mean, we have chanted this many a time. We have heard about this sutta many a time from Brother Teo and also from other Dharma talks and all that. But when I went and listened to this Dharma talk on the first discourse of Buddha, I was full of gratitude for the triple gem. I cannot explain to you how this happened, but I firmly believe that because of these few events that happened to me during my spiritual trip for the past 2 or 3 weeks, it somehow manifest the sutta itself manifested in a way that I could have a deeper understanding of the Four Noble Truths, the three aspects and the 12 ways or the 12 links, and how it actually progress into the Eightfold Path. And when you actually go deeply into the Dhammacakka in Pali and in English, actually, the essential teaching is all there. And that's why I felt great gratitude for this first discourse of the Buddha.
Sadhu.
I find that, of course, I felt actually quite emotional when I actually realized how we can actually, like what Kundana has seen, you know,
Kundanya.
Whatever the nature of to arise has been, it's also in the nature to cease.
Yeah.
You know, of course, easier said than done. You know, I'm far from being a Sotapanna or whatever, you know. But that very verse itself, and if you have some form of understanding, it does in a way. Tell me that just by listening and learning about the sutta or any about the Dharma, about Buddha Dharma, it's not enough. Practicing and putting in the application of this into your daily life with mindfulness, you will surely, I'm quite sure now, you will surely see to a certain extent, of course, varying from the degree that how this manifests itself, you will see that you can see what it is. I don't know how to put it in a better words than that. It is like the truth is there, but of course it is from a different degree that you. You know, I always find this, I always tell a brother to this. Brother to you tell me all this, but it is at your high, that level, that I don't know which level it is
You know, and I am like at this level down there, I also don't know which level down there am I. But as you progress, you can find that level is not that important.
Yeah.
It is the basic essential understanding of yeah. the teachings of the Buddha that says avoid all evils, purify your mind, do good. It is easy to say that, you know, but can you really see that?
Yeah.
Can you really understand at a deeper level, not that completely, I mean, I'm again talking, please, I'm referring to myself, that that you can see this completely or at just at my level. So therefore, I come to understand that it is not the level. It is no longer important who is at which level or I'm at which level. It's no longer, as long as I know for myself that I walk the path myself, I know I understand to a certain degree that is of my level, I think
yeah,
I have progressed a little bit yeah, in some way important. In my spiritual path.
Yeah. Sadhu. Thank you. We all should rejoice with the good sharing. Come, pass the mic to me. Okay, thank you so much, Joyce, for the good sharing. You see, when you go through the cultivation, then only you can see a lot of these things. That's why if you just listen, then you don't practice, don't cultivate, nothing will change. Like what I explained just now to Song before we start, I think a few of them heard it. You see, cultivation is such, when you have not reached that level, you cannot comprehend completely. Just like Joyce last time, he used to say, well, till you talk from that level, I'm just this level, how can I understand you? It's not about level, like she came to realize. Because this sharing is for all level. Even enlightened being, they also will learn. Unless your level is higher than this nature's level, then different. Then what I share, you already understood. So you don't really need to listen. But as long as your level, your understanding is below this nature's level, there is a lot of things you can learn. Then like Joyce said, all of a sudden, after the chanting 108 Itipeso and all things, the meaning of Itipeso become clear. Then Dhamma Chaka Pavatana Sutta, the first sermon, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Because there are four truths, you turn it three times, there are 12 modes. So the three turnings and the 12 modes, when you understand and put it into practice, that is the main thing. Then only you can see the result, the progress. If you don't put it into practice, it's just theory, knowledge. It doesn't serve you. That if you don't put it into practice, you cannot understand what I say. You cannot even have a clear understanding of the cultivation. It's just like the advice of the Buddha, like she mentioned, avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. So simple. How to avoid all evil? Maybe you can, like parrot, mumble out, keep the precept. But did you really keep the precept? If you really keep the precept, then that is the first stage. Then did you move on to the four right effort to constantly purify at a deeper level? Not only keep precept, train your mind to be heedful, to be ever mindful, to arise the first right effort to abandon all the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, unwholesome action that has arisen. Then you check your daily life. Because right livelihood also mean the way you live your life, you need to check. You need to make sure that there is no negativity of mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought and livelihood. It's only when you can do that, then you start to see yourself in meditation, in action. Then you start to understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can start to abandon and purify. Otherwise you cannot. Otherwise it's just theory and you never do it. And I realize a lot of people never do it. Then when you have done it, you have stabilized the understanding, then you can arise the second right effort to prevent it from arising. Because by then your mindfulness is very stable, your understanding is very stable. That's why the second right effort can only come when you have the first right effort completed, done properly. Then simultaneously you want to cultivate the third and fourth right effort, you can. The right effort to arise, the right thought, right speech, right action, they are still not in you. Then what constitutes right action, right speech, right thought? The virtue. All the wholesome action, speech and thought process and even livelihood that the Buddha talked about. All of the 10 meritorious actions. The virtue, the kindness, the gratitude, the contentment, the respect, the gratitude. All this you have to put into action. Make it a part of your nature. So that the Noble Eightfold Path, you have not only the understanding, you carry the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. And all this right thought, right speech, right action, you have to expand on it. What are they? Then how can I arise the right effort to cultivate them, each and every one of them, until it becomes a part of you? Until that loving kindness, the compassion, the gentleness, the kindness, the pleasantness, the respect, the gratitude, the generosity, all this manifests by itself. Until this understanding unfolds from your heart. It's no more from your thought. Want to do good. That is the thought. But when the heart understands, it just do. It's incapable of evil. That's why the absence of evil is good. And that is what cultivation is all about. Then second turning, contemplate, reflect. You have to do it. You have to go into it. Otherwise you cannot progress. Otherwise you cannot develop the understanding. It will remain as theory. Even though you receive merits, blessing, you receive the energy, the vibration, so on. If the wisdom is not there and you don't make use of all this understanding to make the aspiration, to plant the seed of Bodhi, to go this way, so that in future you will not get lost, this window will be wasted. Yeah. So hopefully, with the condition, tonight's sharing will be very beneficial to you all. Yeah. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now 10:29. You got 1 more minute. What do you want to do? Anybody want to do the last sharing?
Can I?
Ah, can, can. Yeah. Come.
Say that at the end of the day,
I was just going to say that at the end of the day, science will never ever be able to, you know, in its infancy, it's still in its, much in its infancy as we know it today, will never be able to explain all this at the end. And really, there is that leap of faith that everybody has to do if they want to, you know, follow this path. Without that leap of faith, we cannot,
yes, very
we
true.
Cannot do it.
Yeah, correct.
And
very
it's,
true.
It's not that easy.
Because this is spiritual. This is not knowledge. If it's knowledge, it's science, technology. But science and technology are very useful. It will help you to check, understand. If you have wrong understanding, wrong belief, wrong teaching, science will prove you wrong first, understand. Like a lot of other teaching, you cannot stand up to the what they call
you cannot stand up to the test of time. Understand? The science is based on facts, based on truth. Yeah. So, if you claim that your teaching or your spiritual teaching has the truth, which means whatever your teaching teach must stand up to the test of time, because it points directly to the truth, the reality, the way things are. So it can describe how things arise. Not only scientifically, spiritually. That's why all of the movement, if you cannot understand the movement, you don't have wisdom. That's why scientists has the technical understanding, the physical law, the biological law. That's why they can understand a great part of those scientific and technological things. Where this fall within the two law. Whereas the Buddha, under the spiritual understanding, is an expert in the other three spiritual law, law of karma. And law of karma is the most powerful. That's why the Buddha keep on asking you to contemplate under the five daily contemplation every day. You are born of your karma, add to your karma condition, and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of karma. If your whole of your life depend on karma, what are you waiting for? You better determine to train your mind to take care of karma. Otherwise, you will not survive in this world. Well, this is a spiritual law that will hit you severely. Then if you don't understand the law of mind, citta niyama, the dependent origin, how you function as a human being, how your five degrees of form and mind arise and pass away, how it flows according to the dependent origination, then you cannot understand the universal characteristic. You cannot understand who you are, what you are, the form and mind. Then how are you going to live life? Who are you? What are you? You also don't know. Then who is living your life? You use thought. That's why you will be deceived by the phenomenal world. And you will get yourself entangled. And you will find it very difficult to get out of samsara. Then finally, of course, is Dhamma Niyama, the teaching, the essential Dhamma, the truth that the Buddha expounded, the spiritual law that governs all of life and existence. So these are the things that the technical side, the scientists cannot do it. That's why Chui was right when he mentioned, you must have faith. You start with faith. Faith through understanding who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is. That's why that will drive you, your great respect and gratitude towards him. Like what Joyce came to understand, the faith in the Triple Gem become very different. Where you see the benefit, you see the great meaning of the teaching, and it's so wonderful. And it can really not only transform you, it can bring about this type of awakening, which is so different. It can free your mind, liberate it from suffering. Then it can bring about such wholesome state of love, compassion, joy, equanimity, peacefulness of mind, tranquility, stillness. All of the beautiful mind state that the energy field people can never understand. So these are the teaching that you have to look at. And it's not difficult. If only you have the faith to go into it. Like Chui said, you must have the faith. Then like Joy said, you must have the condition. Then it will fall into place. That's why whatever happened to you is always a blessing in disguise. You don't perceive it with negativity. Then things will unfold. It's meant to be. Whatever will be, will be. Have faith in your own karma. Take care of karma. That everything will go your way. Then there is no more doubt. Okay? So we stop. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. My wife alarm went off just now. So we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we will end. Before I forget, thank Clifford and Joyce for this table. Very good. Now I don't need to carry this book. I just put it there. Then I can use it. He purposely go and look for it. That's why Clifford is very good. Very kind of him. Then you all should rejoice. The puja for tomorrow, which is Kuan Yin's birthday, Kuan Yin Tan at Wu Ping Jing Se. Pamasuri, on your behalf, requested me to allow the Kayanamita Fund to be used, for them to use to help prepare the flowers, everything, for tomorrow's offering, and also the celebration and all those things. So you can make it, you can join them. I think lunch will be provided, vegetarian lunch. Chanting start at 11 o'clock, Kuan Yin Tan. And the flowers are beautiful, it's in our My Kayamita website. So you all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that we get all Kayamita to partake in this wholesomeness.
where these are very wholesome activity, and a lot of monks will be there to do the chanting, a lot of devotees will be there, then they have this vegetarian dana and all those things. It's a very wholesome occasion, auspicious occasion, and Kuan Yin's nature is beautiful. We must have gratitude towards Kuan Yin's nature because of her blessing, her guidance, and her advice, and all those things. So, protection, guidance, and blessing are very important. So we must have gratitude. We must have this joy in us when we have the condition to do all this. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, starting with the devasa. Akasata chabumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, one more announcement before I forget. Today a lot of good food. My wife specially bought from the Korean cafe cake house 2 cake, I think, and 1 cake and 1 don't know what roll. Very nice. Should go and try sushi roll. Very nice. Then also I saw a lot of nyonya cake. I think must be from LC. Hui Rong. Then LC got Tong Sui. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, pay respect. Then we can have our food.